mornings, one's out in the vehicles, listening by radio. I just want to be, I was telling Candy, I'm never a nervous person, never. But today I'm nervous. I don't know why, maybe because there's two different messages God has me prepared here for you. And then he's told me to go with one, and I'm nervous more now because it's not as lengthy as my power, but it's all going to be powerful, right? Praise the Lord, because as we were talking this morning, we need to be that vessel. Now, when you pour something in a vessel, it takes the shape of what you poured in it, correct? Pretty common. It's not rocket scientists here. Now, we're not building a watch. When the Holy Spirit pours in you, you become the Holy Spirit, right? You don't try to negate from that. Which we do, I do that sometimes. Like I was sitting back there. The message is more for me now than it is for you. Because I'm back there fighting and struggling what to say. But the Lord already said, I need to say that. And I need to read out of that. Luke chapter 9. Starting with verse number 37. When you find it, please stand for the word of the Lord. Luke chapter 9, 37, and I want to read to verse number 42. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly crieth out, and teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly, departed from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he went yet coming, the devil threw him down and tarry him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the Spirit. Thank you so much for the discernment, Lord. Thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on a cross for us, Lord. We thank you so much for the blood, Lord. Go with us this morning, Lord. Anoint my mind, my heart, and the lips. I can't preach without you, Lord. Be with the ones that's listening by radio and also by the ones that's come out to the cars and the ones that's out in the congregation today, Lord. Give them a blessing. In Christ Jesus' name, I do pray and amen. Christ comes down. Comes down from the mount. That's great right there. Christ comes down to us. He came as a man to us so we can bridge that gap back to the Almighty God. We are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And a couple parts here, I'm going to go strictly, not strictly, God's going to lead me right where verse and as he was yet coming, I'm going to go to that because as yet he was coming, what did the devil do? As I'm coming up here this morning, as I'm coming out here and pondering on, the devil's trying to work with me and saying, no, don't do that one here today. And as we're here today and you're sitting in the pews, who's working on you? Is he going to work on you? And so when we have an altar call or whenever you need to have prayed or come up here to get the anointing or whatever, the devil's going to try to throw you down again. He's going to work on you because he knows he's going to lose a soul. He knows that he's going to work on you till Jesus Christ steps out and says, he's one of mine. You're healed. I'm going to rebuke the devil just like he did several times in his walk. Has the devil told you things like, oh, you're a sinner, you're unworthy to be saved? He told me that when I was yet a sinner. Although I was going to church, I was going to the wrong church. It's just pretty much plain, just plain, okay? Give up, Jesus, he's not worth it. How many times has he told us that? How many times has he told us Jesus won't save us? The devil tells us all the time, it's not worth coming up here being mocked at. Oh, what's going on with his family? Wonder why he's up there praying. We hear that all the time. I feel that sometimes. I'm just as guilty. I need to get beyond that and have the faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in my life, Jesus Christ is going to be there with me. Amen. To the end. When I die with Christ, he's going to be risen with Christ. Amen. Amen? Bad thoughts come to us sometimes. We don't come up here. We don't want them to stay there. Bad thoughts come in. A lot of preachers say birds could fly over your head, just don't put a nest in it, right? Don't put it there. Get rid of it. Rebuke it. Amen. Rebuke it. Get rid of it. What scriptures say? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen? Amen? But you have to have that spirit in you to resist the devil. Okay? As he was going there, okay, look, people that's came out this morning, someone, you can look to your neighbor, you look to your family, someone's brought you here. This father had nothing else. He brought him to the disciples. The disciples couldn't heal his son. But have you ever had to take someone that was sick and afflicted to the doctor? It's difficult sometimes. And this child had a lot of issues. A lot of demons was in this child. But the father continued. Aren't you glad someone continued in your life to bring you to church, drug you, as they say. Well, I was drugged by one drug, and it's drugs. My mom and dad drugged me to church. Amen? Amen. That's great. That someone's done that for you and prayed for you, not even knowing that someone's praying for you. This gentleman, the father drug his child to the disciples, and they couldn't rebuke the devil that was in him. Now, as Christ says, this doesn't come out with prayer and fasting, which we need to continue to do, because that's what Christ says. There's different spirits out there. This was a different spirit, a stronger spirit. It comes out with prayer and fasting. We need to always, we've talked about it today, crucify the flesh. We need to do that continually. If you want to stay in a secret place of the Most High, amen, you need to do that. We need to do that as a church family. As he was coming, as this church, and I've just dawned on me, as this church is coming and continues to be powerful only through the blood of Jesus Christ, that's all. We're getting thrown down. We're getting hammered. Things are happening. Why? Because the devil knows he's on his last leg. He knows he's on his last leg because Jesus Christ is going to step out on the cloud, woo, and call us home. Praise the Lord. He's going to do that. Amen. And he's doing everything. He's throwing everything at us. And we have to continue to stay on guard. The only way on stay on guard, stay in the Word of God. Amen. 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 A lot of things that he knocks us off course. The devil threw him down. He knocks us off course. He brings the past. You're a sinner. He's not going to save you. You know, sins are there. We don't want to commit sins again. God has threw them from the east, as from the west. Another thing is fear. We're afraid to go in front of people. We're afraid to say, hey, anything about the Lord. Because we might get mocked, right? We might, you guys don't, and this is what I hear all the time anymore, and I'm not talking political. I'm just saying, he's a far left. He's a far right. I don't know where you're at. I'm going to speak biblical views no matter what. And I told a gentleman that this week. I don't know I know a little bit about that and a little bit about this. But only thing that I could stand on is the Word of God. Amen. I have nothing else to stand on. No, I don't care who I vote for or who votes for what. God has everybody in power for a reason. Just like he put Nebuchadnezzar in there. He put him in there for a reason. The only thing that we can continue to stand on is the Word of God. It's so powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, you and him together, pierces the heart. We need to continue that. He teared him, he rips him apart, wore him out, tossed him. Again, I'm going to throw fear back up because it's a lot of emotion there, fear. Coming up to the altar to pray for somebody. Pray for somebody that may be lost, maybe that's having it sick and afflicted. I don't want to come up there. What are they going to think? I don't have time. It's almost 12 o'clock, whatever it might be. We're afraid to do that. But the last, every time we sing that song, the very last of the book, the King is coming. Time stands still. It's gone. That clock don't matter anymore. My wristwatch don't matter anymore. It tells my age, Joe, that's all. It doesn't matter anymore. And we're going to be coming to that. We're in a line. Someone might be in front of me this morning. Someone might be in behind me. But we're in a line to meet Jesus Christ someday. And someone might come say, I get frontsies. They used to say that back in school, right? I get frontsies. There's going to be people that get in front of you you never thought was in front of you. That means that someone's going to pass away in front of you that's either younger than you or just been born. I don't know that. But we're all in the line. We're all in the line to meet Jesus Christ. And it said today, either you meet him now or you're going to meet him later. You don't want to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. And God's not giving us to the spirit of fear. It took everything that the Father had to bring his child to Jesus. It might have been his last time. His last time, just like the woman with the issue of blood, needed to touch the hem of Christ's garment. Just touch it. You need a touch of the Master's hand this morning. We need a touch. We need to stand together as unity of the body of Christ. We're drift-run church, I know that, but the body of Christ is the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. We need to stand together, stand in the gap for individuals, because the devil's going to throw us down again. But we need to stand strong, stand back up, pray for somebody, come up here and pray, because that's where our power's at, in prayer. Jesus Christ prayed in the garden and said, Father, if this cup could pass from me, if I don't need to drink it, but not my will, thine will, but thy will be done. He stood in the gap for us. Why don't we stand in the gap for other people in our family, anywhere? This is the church family. We need to stay in the gap for one another, bond each other. I need your testimonies. I need your songs. I need your prayers. Each and every one of us need that. That's how we stay together. We stay molded together as the body of Christ. One hurts, say we all hurt. When one's sick, when we see an empty pew that someone's there, we hurt because they're not here. Because we're used to that. Why we're used to that? Because that's our family. They're not here anymore. Or not here right here today, I mean. We need that. And it's like the disciples were kind of like teachers, right? Maybe some preachers. And then it's like today, it's like maybe like in every church house. You could bring them in. The Father brought the Son to the disciples. He brought him to the church house. I can't save you. Gray can't save you. Paul, no one could save you but Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ, when he spoke the words to the Son, the devil had to leave him. He had to rebuke the devil and the devil left him. He left him and healed the boy. The same thing today. If you come, the devil's going to try to throw you down. You're going to grip that pew, shake that pew. But Jesus Christ is worth it. Amen. He's worth it, every bit of it, Amen. To the end. we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and every one of you's been through those things. But it's worth it after. It's worth it all. Lita said last Wednesday, maybe, the retirement is out of this world. That's where we're going someday. If this is the only place you got, not you guys, a person has that's not saved, this is their only heaven, so to speak. It's not going to be heaven like we're going to. If they don't accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Christ said to Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. Amen? And it's like some of us will go afterwards and we'll go to eat. You'll go there for some reason, right? You go there to eat something. We come here this morning to do what? Eat something. Now, whatever you take away, you take away. But if you go out to eat somewhere, do you just sit there and pay for a drink? Maybe you don't even get something to eat. Pretty much not the case. You're going to eat something. You're going to indulge it, right? It's the same thing we do here. We need to indulge Jesus Christ and the Word of God in our lives. We need to do that. We go, again, I can't push that enough, that we do these things, and that's because we are that willing vessel. And you guys are the vessel. You guys are a vessel today. What are you filling it with? I don't know that. Only between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, not me. We could only guide you to the one that could do that. And it's the one that's died on the cross and shed his blood for each and every one of us to be justified back to the Father. And if you feel Jesus knocking at your heart, if you feel that you need to pray, the devil, just like he did with this little boy, threw him down. He might try to throw you down this morning. I don't know that. But don't let him. If you need somebody, we'll always pray with anybody that comes up here. We'll go back to your pew and pray with you. You don't have to be here. I understand that to get a prayer answered or anything like that. But when we come together, unified as a body of Jesus Christ, it's powerful. When two or three gather together, he's in the mix. When more come together, more come together, more come together, we're here. We're here. And there's no reason why we can't all pray together. For the things that's needful in this world, we need to stay bondly fit together. You know, in Hebrews it says about assembling yourself when you see the day approaching. And it reminds me of a gentleman that was, he was a beggar on the street, and this gentleman opened his wallet, and the beggar was asking for money. The gentleman had $7 in his wallet, and that beggar saw the $7. So he took the gentleman took $6 out and handed to the beggar. Now listen now, that gentleman kept $1, right? That gentleman is God Almighty. He gave us 6 days to work. The beggar got up mad. What did he do? He overpowered the gentleman that was handing it out and took the other dollar to make a pure seven. Is that what we do at times? We want the whole 7 days to ourselves. We don't want six and give God one the Sabbath day. Christians come together on the first day of the week. Do we take all of them and give God one? Or what do? We need to give God every day of the week. Amen. Amen? We need to feed our bodies and feed our souls every day of the week, not just one day. We need to be here. It helps edify the church. It helps edify the body of Jesus Christ. And when we get to heaven, he's going to say, welcome in, good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, huh? Anybody has a need this morning? The altar's always open. We always pray with you.